Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Politics Done Right. I am your host, Egberto Williams. This is the progressive program that will take the mystery out of politics. This is the program that will encourage you to make sure government becomes we the people. Whether you are liberal, conservative, or otherwise, you get to air your point of view. Remember, you can also send me a tweet to EGBERTOWILLIES. That is, at Egberto Williams. Let us engage. It is politics done right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Williams, your host. Thank you so kindly for spending this time with me. Today, we have an interesting subject to discuss. We're going to be discussing, it turns out that I saw, how should I put this? I saw on, I think it was Joy Ann Reid today, that she had a program where Mr. Reverend Barber was on. But what was interesting was what he had to say about evangelicals, and that is what we're going to discuss. But bear with me one second, my friends here on Facebook Live. I'm going to be also coming to you shortly on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be coming to you shortly, so bear with us a second while we kind of get things straightened out here. We've been a bit slow in getting the start because I wanted to change the program up. I changed the subject that we're going to talk about. Earlier, we're going to talk about some issues with the women, but I wanted to get started with the issues concerning what Reverend Barber calls heresy, the heresy of the white evangelical right movement. And I'm going to have a lot to say about what he told Joy Ann Reid on a panel earlier today. So stick with me as I continue to share this stuff to get the show going. Anyhow, how was your week? First of all, thank you so kindly for being here. We're going to have a good show. How you doing, Mike Jones? Do you think we're headed for a civil war? That's from Facebook Live. No, I don't think we're heading for a civil war. Cooler heads will prevail. Donald Trump has to create chaos. The only way Donald Trump wins is if he creates chaos. And that is what he's doing now. If you notice the attack on the media, the attack on Hillary, the attack on the women who came out, the attack on everything, by creating that chaos, he wants to give us a feeling of instability. This isn't something that isn't known across the world, right? I'm from Central America, Panama. That is what I call standard modus operandi. What that means is that is how they behave. That is how people in leadership who are in the minority behave in order to keep instability. And with instability, what you get is people being so fearful that they either vote against their own interests, they do things that don't support their own interests. So I don't think we are at the stage where anyone needs to be concerned, let's say, of some sort of a civil war. Now, I tell you the converse. He wants you to believe that, assuming he loses, because he's already taken the position, this election is rigged, that in fact, a lot of fearful people would do one of two things: stay home because they fear any potential violence at the polls, or two, they will vote for him because they believe that if Trump doesn't win, then our stability as a nation, who knows? Those crazies. Look, let me tell you something. Like, I always mention where I'm from for one specific reason, because I understand how these things work. I understand how the governed by a very small, unwanted minority holds on to power, how they get powerful. And that is the only reason Central America, South America, and all these countries, Buenos dias, primo. Ray Holder, my cousin from Panama, just chimed in. Anyhow, listen, I'm going to tell you this. The instability that you see in Central America, many times Americans believe that they are immune to that. They've been immune to that because America has been fairly prosperous and there hadn't been a group of folk who felt disenfranchised. The difference here in America is a bit more, is tougher, right? Because the new disenfranchised people, which is the lower middle class white Americans who feel an angst right now, a justifiable angst right now, the one thing they are armed. And when you have a leader that some of them believe in, who gives mixed messages about violence, then that is a possibility. But as far as a civil war, the structures are not here in America any longer for us to have a civil war. Let's see, Colin Kaepernick, starting quarterback of the San. Do you think that is a distraction? No, it's not a distraction. I mean, I don't think so at all. What he is doing, I think is important. I mean, police violence against people that look like me is a reality, whether many want to believe it or not. That is just the reality. But let's get to the program, and then I'll get into the questions and answers and all that kind of thing. Kareem Parma, great. Yes, he is firing at his party, but he's doing that for a reason. But anyway, folks, the title of the show today is going to be Reverend Barber's Excoriation of the White Evangelical Right. The White Evangelical Right. And then I start, the white evangelical right is a disgrace to Christianity. Reverend Barber, and by the way, to be frank with everybody, I am a humanist, but most, as you can imagine, most of my friends tend to be Christians or otherwise. Reverend Barber is a scorching critique, calls out the white evangelical right for exactly what it is, a form of heresy and theological malpractice. We will discuss that as well as the pass that Donald Trump continues to get from many. I want to talk about that pass. I heard Van Jones talk about that a while back, but it's deeper than what Van Jones has been speaking about, but it is sad. But, you know, beforehand, I want to let you guys know that this is a call-in show. If you want to speak on air, you can go to call 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. Notice it's a different number than we do on Thursday. Thursday, we are on air with KPFT 90.1 in FM, 90.1 FM in Houston, the Houston metropolitan area, and of course on Facebook Live and online as well. That number is different. Chime into the KPFT shows on Thursdays at 3 p.m. Central. That would be 4 Eastern. And chime into this show. This is on the Coffee Party Network. This one is at noon every Saturday at noon. Trump is a racist. He should drop out. Trump is not dropping out of the race, my friend, but we're stuck with Trump. But anyhow, so that's the reason the number is different. This is a call-in show. We can take any number of calls. I'm on a network now that can have an unlimited number of calls as far as how many people can be on at the same time. So you can give me a call at 646-929-2495. Again, that is 646-929-2495. And as Mike Jones and Kareem Parma and my cousin Ray Holder and Mike Jones all know, you can also leave me messages here in the scroll here in Facebook, and we'll talk about it. If you want me to tell folks some other stuff or mention it on air, I'll do so as well. But folks, I think by now you know what time it is. It's time for the weekly blog post. Okay, blog post today is titled Reverend Barber Calls Out the White Evangelical Right. It's interesting because for this particular post, most of the words are not mine. Most of the words will be Reverend Barber's words, but I think it is prescient. It is something that we must understand, we must take, and also we must reflect with the folks that we're engaged with. Here it goes. Reverend Barber on AM, Reverend Barber summarily called out the white evangelical right for their distortion of Christianity, which he says is a form of heresy. Reverend Barber on AM Joy blew away the facade of the white evangelical right distortion of Christianity, calling it heresy and theological malpractice. He did not mince his words. Here's what he had to say. What we see with so-called evangelical right or white evangelical right is a form of heresy. a form of theological malpractice, Reverend Barber said. I am an evangelical, and evangelicalism in the Bible starts with a critique of the systems of poverty. It is very easy. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news as evangel to the poor. And then it talks about the broken heart of the sick, the blind, and all those who have been made to feel unacceptable. It is a strange form of theology. It traces all the way back to those who were able to support slavery on Monday, but then goes to church on Sunday, where you somehow dismiss all of those issues. You dismiss a candidate that wants to take people's health care. You say that's Christian. When he wants to deny living wages, you don't have any critique. And now even with his violence and pathology that's been alleged towards women, and somehow you suggest that as long as he is right on the Supreme Court, prayer in school, and tax cuts, somehow that is a Christian position. That's actually, folks, theological malpractice that borders on a form of heresy in the 21st century. Now, later on, Reverend Barber reiterated that the issues that the white evangelical right are pushing have no, absolutely no theological basis. Here's what he says. The problem is that in the scriptures, justice and health care, living wages, and how you treat the least of these and the poor and those on the margins, there are 2,000 scriptures. 2,000 scriptures, Joy, that speak to those issues. We have allowed many times in the media people to suggest they have a values platform without a critique. Again, we have allowed these people to be the people of value. We have allowed the Republican Party to come out and say, we are the party of moral values. We are the party that cares about people. We are the party that watches, that is the constitutional party. We are the part. False. Saying something doesn't mean it is true, but not calling it out makes it true to many people. And that is what we've not done as a liberal base, as a progressive base. Whenever these people make these false statements, it's incumbent upon us anywhere, no matter where it is, to point these out, because it becomes a reality when that is not done. It becomes a reality in the minds of many. And remember, many people are not as read as the people who follow shows like Politics Done Right and others. Many people are not as informed as the folks who follow this show. So it is your responsibility, my dear friends, your responsibility to go out there. And when you hear the crap, when you hear that stuff about, we are the moral people, we care about you, we care about Jesus, we care about all these things, you must call them out then. You don't have to be wild about it. You don't have to be rude about it. You just have to mention the facts of who are the people that really do care about folks, who really do care about women, who really do care about everybody, not restricted to just a few. Let's remember that. That is not Republican. Republicans have taken that mantra through projection. They projected the democratic values onto themselves, even as they have a platform that beneath the facade is fairly, and I mean this to my Republican friends as kind as I can, it is fairly evil. Anyone who puts women in the position that they put them without a problem is evil. Any group or person who considers minorities less than is evil. Anyone who can watch cops kill people. You can watch cops kill people in cold blood and justify that and somehow see the same thing we are seeing. Live through my skin. Live through my eyes. Live through the eyes of many. Live through the eyes of women. I'm not a woman. And I can tell you one thing. Women have it the hardest. Women have it the hardest. I have womanized myself, and not womanized in a bad sense, but made myself attempt to look through the eyes of women based on some of my own prejudices or false beliefs in the past to see exactly those realities. And it is the Democratic Party, though not perfect, that attempts to make that change. It is progressive values that stand for those changes. But finishing up the blog before I got on my rant, I'm very sorry about that, but some of these things just tend to hit a nerve. If anyone wonders why religion is in a steady decline in the United States, wonder no more. Religion is doing it to itself. Many religious leaders, specifically on the right, have sold out their people. They keep many of them by using their faith as a weapon, as a chain, as they pilfer them all. Religion, in many instances, have become an extension of unfettered capitalism. It is now another tool the plutocracy used to maintain its power over otherwise good and decent people who have been led astray. That is what the current state of the white evangelical right have become. But I don't want me specifying white evangelical right to be simply taken at face value, because I tell you something that I want to bring up. Here in Houston, when we had the amendment, or when we had the law, I don't remember what the law was called, the hero law here, which was intended to protect everyone, gays, lesbians, blacks, whites, everybody. The law protected folks against, and again, I can't recall all of what HERO stands for. I forgot even what the HERO really means. But one of the folks that caused that law to go down in flames were many black pastors misleading their pew right here in Houston, Texas. So just as I excoriate the white evangelical right, the black evangelical nobodies, and the reason I call them nobodies is that because they are not right or left, these particular guys, they are money. That's all they're for. Of course, the right is exactly doing the same thing. When I mentioned in the blog earlier that the religion has become a tool of the plutocracy, that is exactly what I mean. They have become a tool of the plutocracy. They are pushing values that are not in concert with their Bible. And Reverend Barber laid that out quite well. Reverend Barber said that there are 2,000 passages that talk about justice, that talk about the poor, that talk about all the things that it is expected that religion is supposed to do. Yet, what they are pushing is, oh, we want this guy on the Supreme Court. And what is this guy on the Supreme Court going to do? Oh, they think that somehow they're going to put down abortion. Well, let me tell you, there are many times when Republicans had total control of our government that they never did anything about making abortion illegal. They never did anything that protected conservative, that rebuilt the conservative base. They never did anything to support conservatives. You know, all the conservatives wanted prayer in school. They didn't get it. They wanted to be able to have this is when Republicans are in total control. They wanted to have unfettered charter schools. They didn't get it. You see, the Republican elite is using the Republican base. The Republican elite, and if you notice, that is how Trump is working it as well. And he's, in as much as he's not a smart guy, the people that work with him are pretty smart. The Republicans, they're the Republican elite, which are pretty darn similar, and bear with me here, and don't throw spears at me yet, are pretty darn close to some in the establishment Democratic Party. They believe the same things, okay? But those in the establishment Democratic elite, they don't have to lie and say what we want to do is, they don't have to lie and cheat on the social issues. But Republican elites have to lie on the social issues, because the right, again, the evangelical right, which actually behaves, if you take a look at their policies and what they believe in, they're not much different than the Taliban. Think about it. They are not much different than the Taliban. And I'm not being excessive here. I'm not being overblown here. If you go policy for policy, the way they want to put women in their places, that's not much different than the Taliban. The way they want to curtail, they want to curtail people's lives and what they are able to do, not much different than the Taliban. But anyhow, the reality is the mainstream Republicans, they don't want to do things like get rid of abortions. They don't want necessarily charter schools and all those kinds of things where, you know, that turns us into a theocracy. That is also bad for business. And when I say bad for business, I mean monetary, financial. It's terrible for business. You know, we need, there's just a certain amount of theocracy that we can tolerate in this country for business to be successful. I mean, come on, what's going to happen to all the strip joints? What's going to happen to all those real big money makers, the bars and all of that? I mean, if the evangelical right gets power, we're right back into the times of prohibition. We're back into all our vices are going to be whittling away. If they really get what they want, the total control of all of what we do, for all those people that are trying to get marijuana legalized, I forget about it. Estoy muy bien, Dario Skichoy. ¿Cómo estás? Luchando con la vida como siempre. Anyhow, as I was saying before I forget to mention again, this is a call-in show. Give me a call at 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495, and we'll talk. I don't know. I think I may have forgotten to share the show this morning on one of the channels. So while I'm talking to you, if you have any questions also, if you don't want to call the 646-929-2495, and I think I better put that into the notes. Let's see, call. Bear with me, folks. Call 646-929-2495. Is that the number? 646-929-2495. Yeah, call, and if you want folks to hear what you have to say, call and let's see what you think. 646-929-2495. Of course, if you have any questions, you can leave them right here in the area. Now, I wanted to talk about what Van Jones had to say about Mr. Trump, but before I kind of segue on to something else, I wanted to know if anybody else wanted to discuss the issues of the white evangelical right and what they're doing to the religion. Buenos dias, Rhonda Carrington. How are you doing this morning? Yes. Some of you're correct, Rhonda. Some of the media, they're finally starting to call out a lot of these people. And not only that, they're calling out these people as indirectly to call out Donald Trump as well. And one of the reasons they have to do that, I see you, I'm coming to you in a second, John. One of the reasons they must do this, Rhonda, is because they're realizing now that Donald Trump is also a clear and present danger for the media. And why is it a clear and present danger for the media? He's the type of person that will curtail the media. And if anybody fears that, don't forget that the next terrorist attack that we have, let's say it occurs into a Trump administration, what you can be assured of is that will be the template to use to create a new Patriot Act, which will get passed because if he becomes the president, you can be assured that a whole lot more Republicans are coming into Congress with him, and the Senate will remain Republican. And again, if he wins, it actually means what occurred in 2006 with the Democrats, where we got a what kind of Congress do you call it? Actually, I think it was in 2008, a veto-proof Senate, or rather, filibuster-proof Senate. We may actually get that if he were to win. Right now, things look like it's impossible for him to win. But I tell you what, we all thought it was impossible for him to become the nominee as well. But let me bring a caller in before I go to my Van Jones rant. John from San Antonio, come on in, my friend.
Good afternoon, Egberto. How you doing?
All right. How are you doing, sir?
Good, good. What happened last week? Did you start your show late, or I was?
I did start late. Last week, I had some. I had to take the wife for a belated birthday brunch, so the show, instead of being at noon, occurred at 8 o'clock at night. And in my, I simply forgot to post that on the site, but I knew somebody would get me, and there it is. You got me. But come on in, John. What's up?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, the odds of Trump winning are pretty low. I mean, right now Nate Silver has him at 86%, and also, you know, Harry Enten at 538 says that you know, looking back, there's never been any kind of comeback from this far down. I'm not saying it's impossible. You know, it's possible, but the odds are extremely thin that Trump is going to be able to come back. I mean, it's just, I mean, everything that I've been talking about for you know, since, I think, when was it, June 15th, 18th, something like that, when he degraded Mexicans, and everybody else knows about the birther comments. And so everything has come to, you know, come to pass that this guy is just as awful as most people, most Democrats, you know, realize, because, I mean, that everybody knew that, you know, throughout the whole birther movement, you know, which is just, you know, still infuriating to me, and the way that he lied about it and said it was Hillary Clinton's fault.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I do feel that you know, the justice is hopefully going to be served, and I know that you put a clip up last night about Bill Maher saying, you know, how people are not too bright, but I mean, you know, we still live in a majority country, and you know, it looks like that Trump isn't going to win. And so, I mean, again, I encourage everybody to vote. I know there's early voting right now, people listening, and I think here in San Antonio it starts on the 24th. I'm going to vote early. I encourage everybody to vote up and down the ballot for Democrats. Hopefully they will take the Senate. One thing that has been going really well is the Catherine Cortez Masto race in Nevada that has turned around, you know, within the last week severely.
Oh, really?
There have been three different polls with her leading, and she's been down, you know, the whole time over Joe Heck. Joe Heck actually took away, you know, his endorsement of Trump, and there has been a severe backlash with Republicans saying, "I'm not going to vote for him."
Right.
So I think
that race in California with the multimillionaire that's a congressman in the Orange County, I forgot his name.
Daryl Issa,
how is he doing?
It's close. I mean, most people still think he's going to win, but I mean, yeah, the polling, I mean, I think when they actually had the election, it was within, what, 5 points, you know, because they do that jungle primary. So the Democrat was within 5 points, and I think that surprised everybody. So hopefully that'll be one of the races. I haven't checked. I think it was 22% chance that the House would go back to Democrats. I think it hit 29% on Sunday, you know. But, you know, it really is incredibly sad to think about, you know, and you've touched on it very well in your opening statements about how people are so, you know, put into their tribal ideas, and they really do believe in this, you know, trickle down economics, which causes all this inequality, that you know, they'll even support a guy like Trump just because of their economic beliefs, which actually go against most of their
religion,
religion, right, and also what will help them economically. Most people, you know, trickle down economics only helps about the top 20%, and that's actually gotten even worse within the recession. So you make a lot of good points, and it is incredible hypocrisy. But I mean, it's just, you know, it's great that all these things are being exposed. I think you kind of called it a few months ago when you said, you know, the Clinton campaign's going to bring all this stuff out. And it's kind of funny to me to listen to Trump and saying, you know, why is all this stuff happening now? And I'm thinking, well, because they have a disciplined campaign who knows
right.
when to bring all this stuff out, you know. And so that's, I mean, I don't know exactly if that excess Hollywood thing was put, you know, leaked through the Clintons. But, you know, I think there's a pretty good chance that it was. And so, you know, it's just, you know, it's just good to see that in presidential years, the American public, you know, despite all the awfulness of Trump, you know, it still seems to be making, you know, a better decision than electing Trump. And hopefully they'll take the Senate back. Right now I'm looking at it, predict-wise has it at 20%, so 1 in 5 chance of taking the House back. I think that's a little bit conservative, you know, because they do list all 435 races, and I've compared the two with other, you know, sites, and, I, you know, that could be up to 25%. But, I mean, you know, it's also great that Obama, I noticed you put that on your website, that he's really calling the Republican Party out. I mean, not just Trump, you know, because the strategy from the Clinton.
Let me interrupt here, because I'm glad you brought that up, John, because, and I want folks to hear this. There's a two-pronged approach that's been taken in the campaign right now. One is Hillary Clinton trying to reach the voter, the independent voter and the Republican voter, and in doing so, what she's making sure to do is not what Obama is doing. In other words, she's focusing on why it is best to elect her, and she's also focusing on why it is best not to elect Donald Trump. She's making it a Hillary versus Donald Trump race. Obama is making it a Democratic Party versus Republican Party race. And what I love that he did yesterday, he did two things yesterday. One, he wanted to know why is it this late, that there's nothing new about Trump that he's speaking about. There's nothing new about Trump's vulgarity and whatever else about Trump. And what he also pointed out is that if you take a look at it, Trump didn't just come into the party and change the party. The party created Trump. And what he then pointed out is how the intransigence of the Congress was held. How a Congress cannot remain intransigent if it doesn't have the support of the people, right? Because an intransigent Congress, if it didn't have the support of the people, would be voted out and another set of people would come in to make changes. But what they did is they created an alternate reality. And that's what the president is pointing. I mean, it's Cleveland speech, and I posted both of those on my website, HegbertoWillis.com. And by the way, folks, go to the politicsdoneright.com page and go ahead and like it so that we can actually, the next time this show is out, bam, it'll come up in your thing and show, give you the opportunity to just click on it and it'll get started. So go to politicsdoneright.com and politicsdoneright on Facebook and like the page, please. And you can find all these articles that I'm talking about that I wrote this week on HegbertoWillis.com. I'm going to put that in the notes. HegbertoWillis.com is where I have those, all of the stories that I write. But what is important here is how he's approaching it. He's telling everybody, go out there and vote Democratic. But Hillary is telling folks, go out and vote for me and not for this guy. And the reason she's doing that is there are people who will vote for her if they don't think they're voting for the whole Democratic cabal. Now, if the president, as the leader of the Democratic Party, I think those people who are open to that message would then look at it and say, oh, wow, yeah, the Democrats haven't been doing this for me or that for me or whatever. His message is strategic, and in the places that he's doing it is strategic. Her message has to cover the entire country. And I think it is, I don't know, I imagine they're coordinated in doing this, but, I mean, it is so seamless the way they're doing it. And that is why I still, in as much as it's a long shot, John, that is why I still have a little bit of hope that the House is still in play. Thoughts?
Well, I hope so. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, the difference between, you know, 4 more years of gridlock or, you know, actually passing, you know, great legislation. Again, what you were talking about earlier, I mean, I do feel that the filibuster should be eliminated, and if they do take the House and the Senate, I feel they should do that. because the Republicans have already said they're going to do it. I mean, McConnell said on Hewitt's show that they are going to do it. And Paul Ryan has also been talking about how, as the rules as they stand, you know, they allow reconciliation, which is a 50 vote, you know, premium, if it actually helps the budget. I mean, so that's how some of the ACA was passed. Essentially, what they're going to do, you know, all they want to do is cut. They want to cut the social services. They want to cut everything, all the people, you know, who really need help the most. They want to cut them and give more tax breaks to the rich. And so they'll be able to do that through reconciliation, and yet it won't appear as radical as actually, you know, changing the filibuster rules. So
right.
That's what Ryan's been preaching over the past couple of weeks. But, you know, I think his plan was obviously to have Trump sign those bills, and, you know, the chances of that happening are pretty thin. I mean, you know, Nate's numbers were, at the day of the debate on the 26th of September, it was a 55% chance that Clinton would win. Now it's up to 86%. So, I mean, this change has been, you know, has been tremendous, and I'm just glad that the American people finally realized how awful Trump is, because, you know, most of us have known this for a long time. And
but
so
you know what, Trump is playing a game that actually could work for him right now. And Trump is a high risk player, and he is coming out and he's simply saying that all these women that are coming out of the woodwork are lying. So what he has successfully done is, first of all, the Republican Party and the right has been successful in this for a while, is they have removed all the people no longer have confidence or no longer trust the media. The media has lost its way as far as most people are concerned. So when these people appear on TV, very few people actually believe what the media is saying anyway. So when these women come on as an extension of the media themselves, they're not believed, and Trump is out there pompous and he doesn't show any remorse or anything. And I am feeling that this, I'll be frank. I think the story came out at about the right time, but at the same time, sometimes I wonder, is it too early? Because we still have 3 weeks to go in the, well, on Tuesday, we'll still have 3 weeks to go in the election, till the election. And our media cycle, and Trump knows this, our media cycle and our attention span is so terrible that this story may just get old. Oh, yeah, he does all this stuff to women. Okay, next subject. And my concern is that WikiLeaks comes across closer to the election time, in as much as maybe by then 30% of the people would have voted. But that WikiLeaks come along in near the election time, and the media as a backstop, or rather as the balance for the coverage that they're now giving Trump, tries to give this WikiLeaks stuff legs. That's my concern going forward. I am not sure what the results would be, because we don't know exactly what's in WikiLeaks, but the Clinton campaign sure should know what's there. You know, if at any time they had something explosive to talk about. So what's your thought about that? And folks that are listening on Facebook Live, what's your thought about WikiLeaks? Did this womanizing come out too early for Donald Trump? Did we get this story out too early? Will it change? Will it wear off on people and people start saying, well, that's what we expect, and other presidents have done things as well? I heard that was a message on MSNBC earlier today. We had people who are saying that right now. But anyway, what's your thoughts, John?
Well, I mean, first of all, you have to assume that Clinton actually did leak it. I mean, that the Clinton campaign leaked it to a David Fahrenthold at the Washington Post. I think they probably did, but I mean, there's no way of knowing for sure. Mm-hmm. If that was the case, I think you have a good point. I mean, maybe a week later would have been better.
Right.
Also, you know, the debate, the last debate is Wednesday night, and the debate is Chris Wallace, who has already said he's not going to fact check anybody. And so I expect to, you know, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, Trump is always awful, but, you know, a lot of people did think that he did or did well in that second debate. I mean, I don't, because I value the truth. And so for a guy who doesn't speak the truth, you know, extremely rarely, and Pence was also very untruthful. I mean, he lied about all this stuff that Trump said. It was so easy to actually make a video after it. I mean, the Huffington Post did it first, and then the Clinton campaign did it later. All the stuff that he denied, they just say, yeah, here's a video of saying the same thing. And Pence actually put this thing out about Putin, and a week before he said, oh, yeah, Putin's a strong leader, you know, stronger than Obama.
What they do understand is that the people who follow them are low information voters, low information citizens. You know, these are, and I'm not saying that as a derogatory, to be derogatory against these guys, but I think, I mean, these are working people, that these are people who have jobs. These are people who, they get home in the afternoons, they're tired, they flip on Fox News, and Fox News lie to them. Fox News misinform them. Fox News pretty much convinces them to vote against their own interests. That's what they know. One of the reasons that I'm never very, I am never mad at my right-wing friends is I look at them for exactly who they are, folks that are severely misinformed for a very long time. And when your reality is so much different than the real reality, it takes some time to get to you. You know, I mean, it's not easy. You know, if I tell you that trickle-down economics work, and the reason that it's never worked is because it was never really implemented as it should because of the Democrats, then at that time, you can rationalize why you have to remain where you are. Let's see. Pentian says, let's see if it's Pentian. Yeah. October surprise, way too early, but HRC is smart to be nowhere on the airwaves as Trump defends himself, yet she has to energize her base because Donna Brazile and DWS working with HRC won't help. Right. And actually, Donna Brazile has a few problems herself with what came out in WikiLeaks. It kind of seemed like they try to create some sort of a collusion between the media and the Trump and the Hillary Clinton campaign, which wasn't the case. But anyway, folks, this is the call-in show. So far, the only person that has called is John from San Antonio. So if you want to call, give us a call. Or if you want to leave some messages like Pantheon just did, Don just did, go ahead and leave it inside of Facebook. But the telephone number is 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. I want to kind of go off a little bit, and this one hits a little bit personally for a lot of us, specifically those of us with some more melanin than others. I sit down and watch all that Donald Trump has done. And then I look at the president and all that he has done. The president has lived likely the most moral based on what most of us call, when I say most of us, so let's say even the evangelicals call the moral style of living. The president of the United States, Barack Obama, that's the kind of life he has lived. And he is torn apart consistently by the right. He's berated by the right. And then comes Donald Trump. Donald Trump makes thugs, makes women abusers look like saints based on the power that he has used and the number of women that he continued to victimize. Yet when he's described on TV, the only person to date that I know have called him a thug is Van Jones. Because the things that he has done is exactly what thugs do. Donald Trump, thug. The first thing somebody should think of when they think of Donald Trump is a thug. If you had any person, and I have to racialize here I have to. And for all my listeners, wherever you are, static. Hey, my mother is online, and she said that there's a lot of static on Facebook. I don't know what kind of static is that. Anybody else hearing static on the line as well, or is that just restricted to some? Tell me in the messages down below so I can see if there's something I need to correct, because all the lines seem to be up and running, and the lights seem to be blinking appropriately. But going back to the subject, here is the deal. If anybody with any amount of melanin, black person, Latino person, or whatever, were to do the things that Donald Trump's been doing, think about the adjectives the news media would be using to describe this man. He would have been called a pedophile by now. This is the man who looked at a 10-year-old girl and said, in 10 years, she'd be mine, or something to that effect. This is the man who talks about holding women's body parts. This is the man who said that he's done it. This is the man who grabs on women, kisses on them without them, even when unrequested. And not even unrequested. Think about all the things that this guy has done. How, picture this guy, picture the president, Obama, doing these things. Picture Denzel Washington doing these things. And I'm calling these guys because these are guys that are well known. Think about Cosby doing these things. Once it was realized that Cosby did what they said he did, look at how quickly the establishment ran away from Cosby. Look at how quickly Cosby became persona non grata. Think about that. Two powerful men, Bill Cosby, Donald Trump. And Donald Trump still has the support of so many people, and especially the white evangelical right. Think about that. You wonder why people no longer care about religion, or why most people, or a large plurality of the American people, have gotten rid or extricated organized religion from their inner being, from their whatever they do. That's a reason. Because it's been proven now that it's a farce. It's been proven that it's a farce. The fact that these guys, and it's not only the leaders now, the fact that these guys can support Donald Trump says it all. Looks like I have another caller. 620. This looks like Jack. Is this Jack?
Oh yeah.
Hey Jack, how are you? Did you have your surgery, Jack?
Jack. Okay. I want to say this.
Yes, sir.
Because of I'm going to make a criticism of the media, mass media. That's,
yes, sir.
That's causing us to. Trump to his diatribes. Okay, I have a dim view of Twitter, a very dim view of Twitter, and a dim view of the New York Times, especially. Now, what do you want to comment about that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I have a dim view of all of our media, to put it bluntly. Now, I have a dimmer view than John has. Let me make John happy, because this is what I believe. A lot of the media has some good investigative reporters. And by the way, as John would tell you, a lot of the media, a lot of the information we break, in fact, comes from the New York Times, some of their investigative reports.
New York Times.
It comes from BuzzFeed. It comes from a lot of these guys go out there, and every one or two of them, they'll have a few people within their ranks that go out and do some good investigative reporting and come back. And then bloggers like myself and others will use that information. I mean, I've only broken in, since I've been blogging, about six or seven stories that are original to me. Most of the other things have been taken stories from a New York Times, mixing it with a Wall Street Journal story, comparing them, and coming out with some sort of a different analysis than they came out with based on being a regular middle-class guy and not some elite sitting down in an office who has, as we will say, la mente trastornada, a way of being in your mind that doesn't work all that well. And that's what bloggers do, right? We reinterpret a lot of what others have written and maybe come out to a conclusion that we don't agree with. I mean, where data is absolute. So, I mean, as long as you have good data, people can look at the data, analyze the data, and say something else. You know, I mean, when the women come out, all these women come out and attack Donald Trump, the New York Times may have had a spin earlier in the campaign that these things have been explored before and they've been deemed not to be of interest. Bloggers come into the fold and say otherwise. They come into the fold and say, wait a minute, but we have the New York Times saying this. We have the Washington Post saying this. We have all these other papers that have different people coming across. And we take all that information together and say, now, could you have come to that conclusion? Anyway, I got another call. Jack, I'll keep you hot and go to 323. 323, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hey, hermano, it's Max. How are you doing, bro?
Hey, Max. Como estás, mi amigo? Talk to me.
I'm just calling because I wanted to find out what you think about. I'm not sure if this is okay to segue into another subject. I didn't hear the previous subject. I just called in.
Well, look,
if you're talking about
show, go ask it. If it's politics, we do politics done right. So whatever politics you can bring up.
Well, what I've come to realize is that we have this corrupt power structure, right? It's entrenched. Seeing with the WikiLeaks how they're actually playing us like fools.
Right.
And they're talking about like we're fools. And that they're basically talking about, you know, that we're a complacent, citizenry. And that we're basically talked about like we're sheep. And they're just figuring out how to manipulate us and hurt us into doing what they want. Well, what I've come to realize is that there's no way to fix this. It's done. The only way to unrig this system is to literally, if everybody decides at once to say, you know what, we're voting pretty strictly no matter what, and that's it. We take them both down, the Democrats and the Republicans, and society opens up.
First
and we all
right.
If we,
let me stop you there. Let me tell you where. Hold on, Max. Let me tell you where I agree with you. You're right. Both establishments need to be taken down because there's not two establishments, there's one establishment. The problem is the two establishments have different appendages. The Republicans have the right, the Democrats have the left. Now it turns out let me finish the point though. Here you're right.
Okay.
I let me back up. You're right. We have the left and right in the Democratic Party. You are so right about that because remember that the only monolithic party right now is the Republican Party, except, again, the establishment. Remember, I talk about having several things in common. But let me tell you what has to be done.
But who's in charge of the Democrats?
Let me finish.
The left or the right? Okay, go ahead.
The Democratic Party is in the establishment Democrats are in the same cahoots with the establishment Republicans. Now, I'm not talking to right-wing crazies now, okay? They're in the same cahoots. They're run by whom? The plutocracy.
Those are the corporate right-wingers.
What's that? No, they're not right-wingers. They're not right-wingers. They're corporate.
Yeah, they're corporate. They're corporate right-wingers because they're voting against the people for profit. So it's profit over people. That's
right-wing
value.
But my friend Max, right-wing does not mean profit over people. Right-wing is an ideology. Devoid of financial reality, okay? And left-wing also, here's the deal. If you take a look at what's really going on here, is that the plutocracy operates within a rail, two rails, right? The maximum that they will allow to the left and the maximum that they will allow to the right. We are in an imbalance right now. And even the plutocracy thinks that we're at an imbalance right now with too many crazies. The right has tend to be very crazy. We have the fringe left that is just as crazy as a large portion of the right. Just in the, in fact, a friend of mine at KPFT talks about the circle, right? That it's really a circle, and what you find is that the left fringe and the right fringe, there's a part of intersectionality there. But let me get to the point here.
Yeah.
Right, let me get to the point here. This is what I really wanted to tell you. Right now, my concern, why I am a strict Democrat, is because of the Supreme Court and the types of people that will be on the Supreme Court under Democrats versus the type of folks that will be on the Supreme Court on the right. And here's my concern. My concern is that the right would do things that would make constitutional a lot of things with regards to the media and social values. And I'm not willing to take that chance. Now, where it comes
but
to
you're
you...
you're basically giving up your power, brother. You're giving up.
No,
you're saying, you know what, I don't have any power. I'm not going to vote for myself. I'm only going to vote as they command me.
No, let me tell you what I'm doing. Let me tell you what I'm doing. And listen to me here. You're a left guy, I know, and I want a lot of left folk to listen to what I'm saying. You fight a battle to win a war. You give where necessary to allow yourself to rebuild, to do the war. What I'm saying, and I've told this to all my lefties, because I don't think there are many people that are more left than I am. But what I try to tell folks is as follows. You fight to, or you brace to live another day. What you have to do is you have to keep the system, keep the status quo until you have completed your job in educating, in convincing other people that they, in fact, have power. But you going out alone on yourself, by yourself, to do something is nothing better than getting shot. And then once you're shot, there are no leaders. You are a leader. If you're a leader, you have to act like a leader. You have to make the compromises that a leader makes. And what are those compromises? Those compromises are, say, I'll go with the lesser of two evils so that I can continue to build my base. The left base is far from being built. It is not built. The middle-class-centric, poor-centric base that depends on a collective system where everyone has the support that they need has not been framed in people's minds yet. People still believe, telling Americans that you can afford free education, that the country can afford free education. A lot of people on the right and even on the left don't believe that. If you listen to Bill Maher yesterday, you hear ex-Democratic senator come and starts to speak about what are you going to tell the people in red states. They don't believe that you can do that. They don't believe in more regulation. They don't believe in more government. When the fact is we do need more government. We do need more regulation. You know why we need more government? We need more government because the corporations have become so strong that they are, in fact, the government today.
Okay, what you're saying is basically, and I think we have a little bit of a difference in understanding of right and left wing. To me, the right wing represents hundreds of year old, old money, exclusive club that has been controlled.
Can I speak, Egberto?
Yeah, I only have 90 seconds, Max, and so I want to jump. Give Jeff, John, a quick time to come in. Come on in real quickly, John, because I only have 30
seconds.
If
these two parties are all the same, how come nothing gets passed in Congress? Nothing at all besides appropriations bills get passed. I mean, nothing gets passed. We are more divided right now than ever in besides the Civil War in our country.
Right.
So when you say that, like, they're both the same, and, you know, that is the most historically ridiculous argument I've ever heard in my life. I mean,
That's not what's being said.
Well, but it's having the same effect. We're getting austerity. They're making more profits. So all the stuff that you're talking about actually confirms
it's not. It confirms that Democrats aren't in power.
Okay, we got to stop.
No, but are we getting austerity? Are we getting screwed? Are the people getting screwed over and over?
Because Democrats aren't in power. Because Democrats aren't in power.
Is in power of both parties.
In 15 seconds. We gotta stop. I'm going to continue this. Can you guys get onto Facebook Live so we can continue this? We can.
Okay.
Okay, you can stay on the line. The official, hold one second. Folks, this has been Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis. Thank you for listening to the show. You have a wonderful day. Facebook Live will stay alive, and I'll keep this alive. I think I can keep the lines, the phone lines alive a bit longer. But the official on air has just ended. So let's go ahead. Are you still there, John?
Okay. Yeah, I'm still here.
Are you still there, Max?
Yeah, I'm still here. Well, just
okay,
my point is that we're basically, what we're doing is reinforcing the fact that we are basically voting against ourselves, and that there's nothing that we're going to be able to do. We're going to come up with every excuse that they can until we decide, hey, you know what, we're done. We're not going to play your game. We're
all
not
right.
going to reinforce
okay.
anything.
I got
we're
that.
Not going to keep – We're gonna go on our own, and we're gonna take both of you down because we are not yours. You are ours.
Max,
and until we do that, until we take our power, the only thing we're gonna do is keep getting nonsense about bickering this or bickering that. Let's just end them both. Let's all just decide it's over. Both of these parties are done.
Max, when you're talking, can you hear me talk, or are you on a single line?
I can hear you talk.
So let me ask you. Let me ask you, as a matter of courtesy, when I ask any of my callers to stop, I beg that you please stop so that we can get the conversation going. Because you made your point, and I think what happened started some repetition. So let's do it this way. I want to ask you a few questions. I'm extending the show on Facebook Live and on this portion of Blog Talk Radio. But as far as being on air, we're no longer on air. So here we go. Here it goes. Who are you voting for? And I'll tell you why I'm asking there later.
Okay, I'm voting for Jill Stein.
Great. Now, what do you expect to accomplish by voting for Jill Stein?
My effort is to try to take down the corrupt system of power that has locked us out, the people and the voice, and is marginalizing us and is abusing us.
I appreciate that. Now, the next question to you is that, do you believe within your heart that enough people will be there to vote for Jill Stein? Yes or no?
Absolutely yes, because I don't believe anything mainstream media puts out.
Max, let me ask you this again.
Yes.
Forget about the polls. Forget about the media. We are on the left, consider ourselves reality-based people. In other words, we are not the folks that are going to come out here and start talking about skewed polls and all of that. My question again is, do you honestly believe enough of the people that you talk to, forget about the people that are immediately around you? Because I'll tell you something, I would love to be able to support a very left-wing candidate right now. The problem is the follows, and this is what I tried to mention before. And this is where I need some understanding from folks like you, Max. You guys are leaders in these movements. You are. But to be leaders in the movements, you also have to be responsible. And this is what I mean. I have not completed my job. What was my job? And it's John's job, and it is your job. We have not sufficiently made the case to enough Americans, to a majority in a four-way race, to a plurality of Americans, to go in there and say, we need to get rid of those who currently represent the Democratic or Republican Party. Can't you agree with that statement, that we have not yet reached that point?
No, I can agree that you do not make the case for that, but I don't agree that as a whole we have not made the case. I believe that a lot of people are not making the case, as you are doing it now. You're saying we can't do it, so you're making the case against it. You're basically fighting against the left.
You're missing my point. I don't think. Let me tell you again. It's not what I'm saying is this. When I supported Bernie Sanders wholeheartedly, I went out and I did everything I could, including having house parties, including bringing people to the fold for Bernie Sanders. We did that.
It wasn't
Bernie. We had a lot of people, but here's the problem. there were more Hillary Clinton people. There were more Hillary Clinton people. And
no, it was the power structure. They kept us out. They kept independents out.
You know,
they locked us out. It's not that we're more.
We are not. Listen, we're not talking about how things should be. We're talking about how things are. And that is what I try to tell my lefties. I am like, brothers and sisters, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. It's not something that we can throw our hands up in the air, or we can just go among people who look and feel like us, who think like us. That's the reason I do this show. And that is the reason I engage conservatives. That's the reason while people look at me and say, oh, you're crazy to let those folks come on your show and talk like that on KPFT or just spew that stuff out. I want those guys to have some sort of a relation with me so that I can make the case to them. And you have to do the same thing, and John has to do the same thing. Because we have a lot of work to do. Movements take time and effort. Movements don't occur because you know you're right. It's not enough to be right. That's my thing that I'm trying to take to you, my brother. It's not enough to be right. And when what John is saying about the differences in the parties, remember how I started the discussion. I said the establishment Democratic Party and the establishment Republican Party owes their owe to the plutocracy. But the bases are different, meaning they have different things that they must do to keep their base. The right-hand side hurts people to keep their base. The left-hand side helps people to keep their base. Not as much as we want them to do, or they don't have the policies we want. Free education, make sure that corporations don't go unbounded. All those things that we believe in are still not the core of the Democratic Party, but we could make it the core of the Democratic Party if we first work with the current Democratic base the way the Democratic base is, not the way we hope that it is or hope that it would be, but the way that we intend to make it. You go ahead, Max.
Okay, can I ask you something now?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you something? Is that okay? All right.
Yes, of course.
A couple of questions. Do you honestly believe, as you've seen, all these CIA intelligence types, right-wingers that are now backing Hillary. So you're
mm-hmm.
basically standing next to these people and you're voting with them. These,
mm-hmm.
Do you actually believe that the Democrats are somehow not run or not taken over completely now by the right wing? Do you honestly believe that?
Let me, first of all, the reason I don't want to answer just a yes or no is because we have to get.
Can I make a comment, Egberto?
Yes, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say absolutely the Democratic Party is absolutely moving to the left. There is no chance that it's not. I mean, you look at Bernie Sanders' support. Bernie Sanders was thinking about running in 2012. He didn't run because he didn't think he would have any support. He ran this year, and he got, whether 40, 43, 44, 45%, whatever you're going to say. And you look at the people under 45, they support Bernie Sanders. You look at Elizabeth Warren. You look at Jeff Merkley. You look at all of these people. If you compare the Democratic Party to the way it was 10 years ago, to the way it was 20 years ago, to the way it was 30 years ago, it is undoubtedly moving to the left. There's no historian that'll question this. I mean, what you're saying, I mean, it sounds very good as far as rhetoric, but, what you're not thinking about, can I finish my thought? What you're not thinking about is things that Egberto brings up. You know, Roe versus Wade will be overturned if Trump is elected. 20 million people will lose their insurance if Trump is elected. The social safety net will be cut if Trump is elected. All of those are undoubtedly factual things. Global warming will not be addressed if Trump is elected. I'm not saying that Hillary is going to do a great job on that. She's not. I mean, I was very concerned about her thoughts on the no-fly zone and Syria,
mm-hmm.
and I brought that up, and I was telling Bernie, you know, on various podcasts, that he should bring that up more often during the debate. So, you know, I'm not a huge Hillary Clinton supporter. I mean, I do agree with Egberto, is that, you know, you just can't say that, you know, if you vote for, if you tear both parties down, which, you know, even if you're like thinking that they're, let's set out a plan, most people would say that that's going to take at least 30 years. That's never happened in the history of our country. We've always had two strong parties at least. And so, I mean, I just think that, you know, instead of voting for Jill Stein, you might as well write your own name in, because, you know, you have as much of a chance of winning as Jill Stein. Now, Jill Stein has some good ideas, but she's dishonest about her assessment of the two parties, completely dishonest. To say they are the same thing is just not looking at the historical data. And, you know, and when you talk about austerity, there is no doubt that if the Democrats had the House, had the Senate, and had the presidency, that austerity would not be implied. And if you look at the European countries, which are actually much more liberal in general than America, yet they have embraced austerity. The reason America hasn't embraced austerity as much as the European countries is because Obama and the Democratic Congress didn't want to embrace it.
Now, let me come in now. I want to tell Max something, and this is where I try to use humility on myself, right? It is hard. It is very hard to take the position that, let's say, John and myself are taking, because we know there are many on the left who just want to burn the house down, who just want to throw things out the door. And what I tell them is as follows. I care about people too much. I care about you, Max. I care about everybody too much. And I know that assuming that you've got a whole lot of people to follow you in such a manner that it hurts, it'll mostly hurt Hillary Clinton, of course. I know that most of the people you care about too as well, Max, will actually be doing a whole lot worse than if Hillary were there. So what I ask folks like you is, just like I have eaten my humble pie, if that's what it's still called, before, I ask all my lefties, eat the humble pie and let's go ahead and work and work and work to do exactly what needs to be done. You know, some people say, let's create a third party. I have a friend, my buddy that I work with and moved to a man, David Cobb. He talks about making the Green Party that other party. And I looked at him and I said, well, if the Green Party would really organize itself in a fashion that is taken seriously, maybe that could be considered. But right now, it simply has not. And that's the reality. If you take a look at the convention that we had there in Houston or other things, that's not the case. It doesn't have the professional veneer that a party needs. Now, my thing that I've always told Cobb is I believe in working within the Democratic Party as a virus would. And that is, make the Democratic Party what its values really should be. It's a structure that's already there. There are enough people. Bernie proved that there are enough people like you, Max, as well, that can make a difference, that are willing to make that difference. Let's do that. And you as a leader, Max, John, has to be the one who convinced those that are harder to reason with, because you know that we all have that on the right, on the left. Folks that are just tunnel vision in one way of thinking. It is our responsibility then to sort of objectivize, or not object, but delineate these things that we need to talk to our people about and say, we're not leaving anybody behind. We're not stopping. What we're doing is we're making sure that there's another day to survive. Yeah, Max, come on in, brother.
Our parties have left us behind. Our system has left us behind. Our system, our powers, those in power in these parties have basically, they treat
You're
us
right.
with contempt. They treat us with antagonism. And
You're
not just
right.
that, they have locked us out. So the whole thing that you guys are talking about, like, oh, there's a difference. It's over, man. That whole thing is done. We are screwed. And World War III is right around the corner.
Max.
Literally, no, you sound like Trump.
He's even talking
Max.
About Hillary like she's the better option.
Max, let me tell you something.
Yes.
They've not left us out. You know what has happened? Feared us out. Feared us out is different than left us out. Let me give an example.
That's all
that,
I hear
all right?
from you guys. Fear. I'm scared of this. I'm scared of that. You know
no,
what?
I'm not,
if
no,
you
no,
don't
no,
stand
no,
up
no,
and
speak
up,
I am not scared.
That.
I am not scared.
Yeah, you
let
guys say
what?
I'm scared for my people that this might happen to them
Max.
If we don't do this. You know, if we don't stand up for the greater good, we're never going to get it.
Max, what you're standing up for is not the greater good. You're standing up for the greater good isolated. There's a difference. To make a difference, you have to.
It's
you
not
have
isolated.
To.
It's isolation.
My mother just said something very. My mother just said something that makes a lot of sense that I want to read here. Do what you have for what have to do until you can do what you want to do, and that is a very prescient statement. And let me tell you why. I understand where you're coming from, and here's the problem with having a discussion with you, Max. All of the things
yes,
that
sir.
You're articulating are correct, right? What you're saying are correct. Where you're failing, in my opinion, to see what we're trying to say is as follows. Let's use Harris County as an example, because you win the big battles by winning individually. The way the right wing took over this country is by winning in the local elections. They won on their school boards. They won in their local state houses. They won in all these other issues. We could.
But they won through neoliberalism.
Say that again.
They won through neoliberalism. They won through being right wingy and then talking the neoliberal talk, but always hedging.
But what I'm saying is they won. Okay, they won. People believed them, voted for them, and they won. I mean, I think
yep.
what you're saying. Here's the deal. Unless you bring people with you to vote for you and believe what you're saying to vote for you, in a democracy, you're not going to get what you want. So what I'm telling you is as follows. Locally, we are encouraging people to go to run. I have been encouraging
yes.
people over and over to run. Brand new Congress, our revolution. We have to. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to change. Let's say out of magic, Jill Stein got elected. Let's say out of magic she got elected. What could she possibly accomplish? Virtually nothing. Okay?
Oh, the most important thing, which will she will stop us from going to war. Which
oh,
is
no.
the most detrimental thing of all.
That's the fundamental misunderstanding of American policy. And let me explain. If you heard my previous shows, my friend, I speak about the president versus the presidency. The president can want every. Obama wanted to do a whole bunch of stuff till he encountered the presidency. And I got to leave now. I got to close the show
okay.
down. But I'm going to leave you with this, Max. There's a difference between the president and the presidency. Secondly, we need folks like you to think deep and because you have a following, you have folks that listen to what you're saying, and to make that transition to understand what folks like John and I are speaking about. It is if our movement is to really move forward, we need guys like you to actually be able to, I want to say play ball, but that sort of sound wrong. But you understand what I'm saying, Max. We need guys like you to understand that it's not only one way to get.
It's okay. Say it. We need you to play ball. That's basically what it is.
Exactly.
And
well, let's accept that. Let's say that it's a play ball, and because you know that the Johns and myself and others, that what we're doing is not just playing ball. What we're doing is we have a cause that we're working towards, and we need folks to jump on ship. But you know what? There are some people I can't talk to that you can. You get my point? There are some people that I can't
yeah.
talk to that you can. So we need you on board. But I got to close this show down, guys. It's been great having you, John. It's been great having you, Max. Keep on listening. Keep on calling. It's been great having you, Jack. All of my listeners on Facebook. Man, we had a whole bunch today, man, that came in and out. We're going to continue this next Saturday. We're going to continue doing these calls. And, Max, we need to keep you on board. All right, brother?
Yeah, I'm always on board. I'm on board for the left wing to the day I die.
Well, Good. Well, good. You keep on, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday on Thursday on the KPFT show. All right.
Take care.
You take care now, John. Thank you, guys, folks. This has been an extended version of Politics Done Right, only on Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio. We lost the signal otherwise, but anyway, you guys have a wonderful day. It was a pleasure being with you. I gotta go. Got some blogging to do. Have a wonderful day. Arrivederci. This is Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis. Have a great day. Bye-bye.